You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, we wanted to let you know about a free resource that we're offering, an e-booklet by Todd Adkins called Developing Your Leadership Pipeline. This booklet will help you and your church leadership team begin to formulate a leadership pipeline from concept to structure to training in your own church. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, and you can download it there. Now, here's the podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins, my co-host.
What's up?
And Todd is the director of leadership here at Lifeway. I work with Todd on the team that is called the Lifeway Leadership Team. And so you're probably picking up a bit of a theme here, and that is leadership, which suits both this podcast as well as the theme of this week, which is Leadership Pipeline Week. And so what you will have noticed is that, A, we are dropping a post on a Wednesday, which is unusual.
It's the bend.
And then we dropped one on Monday and Tuesday, also unusual, and we will drop one on Thursday and Friday. So you are getting 5 posts.
What? 5 posts?
Five episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Five posts.
Yes.
Because we're doing blog posts as well at lifeway.com/churchleaders. We are trying to saturate you with leadership pipeline content so that you know what it is, where to start, what questions to ask, what questions to answer, how to implement it in your church, why it matters, all of those things. And so each day we're looking at a different aspect. On Monday, we looked at the intro, kind of the basics of it. On Tuesday, yesterday, we looked at the systems aspect.
Today, it's structure.
Today, we're looking at structure, how to build.
Which is even more exciting than systems, Barnabas.
But it's since we're talking about pipeline, it is a structural concept. So it's something matters. It really matters, this piece. And so what you will hear in a couple minutes is the two of us talking with Eric Geiger, as you've heard the previous couple episodes, about the structures of a leadership pipeline. And so this is really helpful because it's the shape of these things in an organization.
Yeah, that's why I talked about the bend. And one of the reasons why we're even talking about pipeline so much is to really clarify the philosophy of leadership pipeline. And that is, it's not a linear process. It is not a funnel. You can download the e-booklet and take a look at what we mean when we say pipeline. There are bends in people's lives as they move from an individual contributor or an individual who's volunteering at a church and then someone who is leading people. I don't care whether you're in a business setting or you're in the church setting. That first shift, when you go from making an individual contribution, managing yourself, to managing others, a bend has to take place in your mind. A mind shift has to take place to where you value different things and you have to work differently. All those pieces come into play. Right. And that's part of the underlying philosophy of leadership pipeline and structures.
And so the ebook that Todd mentioned can be downloaded again, lifeway.com/churchleaders. Look for the free ebooklet tab at the top. You click there, you give us your email, you download it. It's 15 pages. It lays out a lot of what we're talking about, but it's something you can take with you. It has no cost, and it is something that you can share and go through with another with other leaders to help you figure out where to start and how to start. We have another really important, really exciting opportunity for you to participate in with other leaders, and that's coming up on March 17th, and that's the first webinar that we have done as a team and the first pipeline webinar that we're doing out of a series of 4.
So one of the cool things about this is if you're a regular listener and you're a podcast person and you've got people on your staff or other people that you're friends with or other pastors that you want to experience this with that aren't podcast people, this is a great way to experience the volunteer level of leadership pipeline. And the format will actually be somewhat similar to what we normally do in a 5 questions type of format.
Right.
Only we'll have a resident expert, Danny Franks, who will be dropping knowledge on the volunteer competencies of leadership pipeline.
And Danny is the connections pastor at the Summit Church in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. It's a big multi-site church. So he oversees all of their volunteers. And well, I should say he oversees the people who oversee their volunteers because they have a leadership pipeline of sorts. Yep. And so he is going to be giving a short presentation, and then Todd and I will be fielding questions with him, talking through questions with him to sort of work out the practical application and implications of this. So if your church is looking at how to start a leadership pipeline and how to engage your volunteers in this, please participate in that.
That's a great place to start.
March 17th. And if you go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and click on the webinar tab, so it's the same website everything else is hosted at. It's the same place you can find our blogs and the ebook at lifeway.com/churchleaders. Hit the webinar tab. You can register there. It's completely free. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell your pastors. If you are the pastor, tell all your volunteers. Like they should be part of this too. And we would love to have you join us for that. We'll be able to field questions via Twitter, probably via email. We'll give you some more information on that the closer we get. But just wanted you to know about that. March 17th, lifeway.com/churchleaders. Hit the webinar tab. Without further ado, here is a scintillating, applicable, mind-bending, mind-altering, mind-shifting, as Todd said, conversation about the structures of Leadership Pipeline. So today we are going to be talking about the structure of Leadership Pipelines. Previously, we talked just about a basic intro of what they were. We've talked about the systems of Leadership Pipelines. And so we're talking structures today. It sounds, it's a little bit nitty gritty.
Sounds really boring.
This is not the I'm sexiest
trying to,
topic.
I'm trying to say this without saying boring, but thank you, Eric.
But it's super important.
Right. Massively important.
Structures are the kind of things that are not, they don't get anybody excited, but if you don't have them, everything falls apart. So it's something we have to be really clear about and do a really good job of explaining, I think.
Yeah, when you say structure, for me, I'm thinking my mind first goes to the layers of leadership in a pipeline. So when you hear leadership pipeline, mm-hmm. you are thinking, okay, we're going to develop people, we're going to move people from one place of leadership to another layer of leadership. Well, the structure then would be, to me, the basic structure in a pipeline. So it's not super complicated, but the basic structure is what's the different levels or layers of leadership that you have, you know?
And that is our first question, is just what are the structures of a leadership pipeline? So you mentioned layers. So maybe we start with an example from a church context or a professional context. What are some of the layers, those structures that you guys have seen?
What it boils down to is it's really a framework of – it's the framework around which a group or groups are organized. And so what you're looking at there is what's your staff structure, for instance, or how is work distributed? Those kind of things are a big part of pipeline.
Could one of you guys just paint a verbal picture of what that is?
Let me give a verbal picture of two different kinds of structures in a leadership pipeline. So I'm going to go straight the structure of a leadership pipeline as you're building it. I'm going to make this for a local church context. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you two.
Perfect.
So one would have four layers and one would have five. All right. So here's the four layer one. When I say layer, you can think layer or you can think levels of leadership. You can think we're going to move people from this level or to this.
And if you want to mentally picture this, think like the food pyramid. Just those. Just trying to give people something that they can picture in their mind.
Or if you're listening to this and you're in your office, draw four boxes that go horizontal.
Right.
And then for the next example, draw five boxes that go horizontal, right? So you're going to move as leaders are developed, you're going to move them from one box to another. So here's a four level or four layer structure. Volunteer. Mm-hmm. So someone comes in and into the ministry and you're asking them to volunteer. Then second layer or level would be leader. Third would be ministry director. And fourth would be senior leadership. So it would be volunteer, could be the person who hands out bulletins, could be the person who helps park cars, could be the person who volunteers at the homeless shelter, could be the person who works at the kids' check-in booth. And so what level of training do they need?
Right.
Right. And then as you move people to the next level of leadership, they would move from volunteer to leader. Mm-hmm. And so what level of training do they need? So the leader is the person who oversees the other people at the check-in booth or the person who oversees the other.
And this is careers. Not, I mean, in a church context, that's usually not going to be a paid staff member. This is a team leader of volunteers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the third layer could be, and obviously nomenclature can change from context to context. We're just trying to give a real simple framework here, a simple structure.
Right.
The third layer could be ministry director. So then that's the kids ministry director in that context that then oversees the leaders who oversees the volunteers, and,
right.
And you develop people as they move through the pipeline. And then the fourth would be a senior leader. So that'd be a four step, and the
right.
senior leader would be, it's different in each context, could be elder team, could be the executive team mm-hmm. at a staff on a church staff, could be the senior pastor.
And so for somebody who's in church leadership, it shouldn't be terribly difficult if they drew out those four boxes
right.
that you described to start dropping names in there and go, oh, that person uh-huh. is my, that person's a volunteer, yeah. that person's a volunteer, this person's a leader, this person, we know the directors and the executive.
Or roles,
yeah.
you know, the different roles that you have in the church. You already have layers of leadership,
mm-hmm.
and so you just need to identify the layers of leadership you have.
Right.
So that's the example on a four-step.
Right.
Some churches may move to a five-step leadership development pipeline depending on the size of the church. And so
yeah.
I'll just add the fifth one. So you would have a volunteer
mm-hmm.
leader, and then you would insert the fifth layer at this point, at level three. So volunteer, leader, then some would call it a coach.
Right.
And then ministry director, and then senior leader. So use small groups as examples. So,
and in that,
go ahead,
in
Todd,
that
interrupt
instance.
Me. Let's just go ahead, buddy.
Okay.
I just appreciate that. Anytime. Go ahead.
Just go ahead.
Go ahead. No, do it. Yeah. Just do it. I can handle it.
Really, at those different layers, though, you're talking about, you know, a volunteer, your focus is on leading yourself well,
yes,
leaders, lead others well, coaching, lead leaders well.
Mm-hmm.
Then next, ministry department, lead department, and finally, lead the church.
That was well worth the interruption. I agree.
Thank you.
So if you have the boxes drawn up on a mm-hmm. board, and you have volunteer, lead self,
right?
Lead a leader, lead others. Ministry director, lead leaders. Senior leadership, lead the church.
And at all of those, you're not dropping the thing you did before. You're still doing
no,
those
you're
things.
Building
you're adding.
It.
You're yeah. adding onto them. And not everybody is expected to progress all the way through this.
No,
not in a church context, I would assume.
No, or even in a non ministry context, I think it's important to say, hey, be who God's called you to be.
Right.
And for some, okay, let's use small groups as an example. So. Some of the best small group leaders in a church shouldn't progress and be a coach of other small groups because
right.
they're not administrative. They're mm-hmm. they're shepherds, and they shepherd that group really, really well and not feel like you have to move on from shepherding that group really well. However, if you want to progress and become a more engaged leader mm-hmm. in this context, then here's the pipeline. Here's the structure. And the beautiful thing about pipelines is nice and simple. You can look at it and say, okay, here's how development happens around here. So let me just restate the five,
yeah.
right? So it would be volunteer, leader, coach, ministry director, senior leader. So volunteer would be probably somebody who volunteers in some capacity in mm-hmm. a small group, is the person who handles the socials or the mission projects. Then the leader of the small group would be the person who leads the group. Then a coach would be in a large church setting, someone who oversees and shepherds 6 to 8 small groups. Then the ministry director would be the small groups director.
And so they're going to meet generally with the coaches and
yes.
things like that, sort of the trickle down effect.
Who oversees
yeah.
the whole ministry. And then there's the senior leader.
So I will say though, for the effective purposes of what we're putting together for the masses, for the number of churches and pastors that are going to be listening to this. You know, obviously, you know by now that we're putting together this whole pipeline, leadership pipeline for churches. We've spent 18 months doing it, and we've brought in, you know, people like Paul Tripp and Will Mancini to speak to different competencies at these different layers or levels of leadership mm-hmm. that Eric's been talking about. For us, what we're doing is we're putting in the four-layer version.
Yeah.
So we're taking out that coaching layer
yep.
because it only makes sense to really, really large churches with a coaching mentality.
Right.
You can easily add that.
Oh, so, totally.
So having a four-step is easy to implement.
Well, and to be honest, for a tiny church, they might have a three-tier pipeline to start and then expand from there because they may only have a tiny number of volunteers
yeah.
and then, you know, so they skip a level in there
so
somewhere.
I'd say view the four as a starting point,
right.
you know, and some may even have have more than that. So and that's the structure.
Todd just mentioned competencies. That was that's what you heard us mention right at the top of this when Todd and I were talking about the different webinars that were coming up and some of those. Each of those will hit on competencies so that at each of these levels, people can know what they're supposed to really hone in on, how they should be developed, which I think is hits our second question, which is why are structures so important? Why are they important to the health of an organization, to the training of people? What makes structures so crucial?
I'm going first. You go first.
You don't want to interrupt your boss.
Not too many times.
Really, this is your stuff, man. This is your sweet spot.
All right, you go. He's all excited.
Okay, so why it's important, first of all, is scalability, people. We are not called to be disciples, but make disciples. We're called to be disciples, but...
Not to stop there.
We're supposed to be making disciples. The only way we can do that effectively is to put systems and structures and all these things in place. And what structure does really well is allow you to scale something. So the other things that structures do is it gives guidelines for people. So people have processes, they have guardrails to know what is allowed, what is not allowed, that kind of a thing. But it also puts people into teams. And one of the most important things is it helps embed culture, which I'm sure Eric will want to talk about.
I actually just jotted down two thoughts. They really are very similar, just phrased differently than what you said. The structure is really important for people development because it helps you decide on training and competencies for each layer in the pipeline.
Well, it helps you gauge where people are.
Yes, that. And also, what does a leader here need to know?
Right.
And experience and understand. What does a ministry director here need to know, experience, and understand? So if you don't have a structure, then you kind of just do like this. Here's all the training. Just everybody watch the training. When you everybody end up, come to the training. Everybody,
choose your own adventure.
Everybody just do, you know, read all the books that we give you.
When you end up with a lot of gaps and a lot of redundancies because the job descriptions for the different levels might all look kind of the same. Instead of being differentiated, and then there's going to be people who are just sort of stuck at some they're spinning their wheels because nobody's saying, you know, you need to be doing this in order to be an effective volunteer or you need to be trained in this way in order to be an effective leader.
So it's really people development. I'm thinking about each individual person. They know where they are in the pipeline and what training they should receive, and then they also then know if they do progress through the pipeline that there's a transition time coming where they'll need to be prepared, and if they're wise and the leader who shepherds them is wise, will prepare them for their next step. So that's people development. It's really about the individual.
Right.
And then the other thing that I think is so important, it's really, and Todd's touched on this, this is now about the organization as a whole or the ministry as a whole. It's leadership expansion. It's scalability. I think you know that you have a good structure, pipeline working, when a vacancy or a new opportunity comes up and you think about people who are at a current place in the structure and you think, okay, who should, of the people in that group, should we ask to do this? And that's what's beautiful about a pipeline is you now have groups of people that have already been identified as people who can be tapped for new responsibilities or new roles or to fill roles that have been vacated.
And a big part of pipeline is preparing those people in advance for those new roles. Yeah. It's to say, hey, I'm going to be moving this person from leading themselves well. They've shown proficiency in that. I know that this person is going to be a leader. I know I'm going to tap them on the shoulder to be a leader in something, in some area in my church. I'm going to go ahead and give them that next level of training and development. Instead of the old way of just throwing somebody in and seeing how they do, or, you know, I'm going to throw you in and then kind of help you out along the way, but say, no, this person has already been prepped. They're already ready. Mm-hmm. It's not a sink or swim situation. They're not going to spend 6 months flailing around trying to figure it out. They're going to be ready.
And I feel like this might be a place to drop in a little bit of a parenthesis, because I feel like when we start talking structures and systems, there are those, especially particularly in church leadership, who kind of wince at that, yeah, because they're bringing in, you're bringing in business principles into a ministry and these kinds of things. And what I see this as, and you guys can expand on this or deny it or change it however you think is helpful, is that this is no different than, say, using a Bible reading plan to keep yourself disciplined in your personal connection to the Lord. It is, yeah, it is a structure, uh-huh, to do what ought to be done. It's not a mechanization. Yep. It's not, it's, you know, this isn't turning a church into a for-profit business.
Right.
It's simply creating a system so that the organic, spirit-led, yes, Bible-driven kinds of things can happen in a healthy way.
Yeah, I would say it's a strategy, not a box. So
right,
we're not saying, God, you're going to only develop people this way. Development's only going to happen this way. But instead of just thinking development's going to, mm-hmm, happen, you actually have a plan and a strategy for it. So systems, for me, I mean, it's important to understand that that's not an anti-spiritual thing.
Right.
So oftentimes the guys who will say, oh, man, systems, I feel so unspiritual. I'm like, hey, realize you are debating that with me while a circulatory system is running through your body.
Right.
And why God, who cast the stars into the sky and
in a solar system,
and currently in this moment, the sun is held exact distance it needs to be held away from the earth so we don't, mm-hmm, fry because of the solar system. And your favorite textbook in seminary was your systematic theology textbook. So God has systematically, he systematically,
right,
did creation. Look at Genesis 1. I mean, it was done very systematic. Now, we never want to say, God, you have to develop people this way.
Right.
But to have a system is not unspiritual.
And even the competencies that are in there are not business competencies. They're not achievement competencies. They're development competencies in terms of soul development and relational,
yes,
development,
yep,
and those kinds of things.
Discipleship oriented.
Right. So those are things that are not, I mean, those are not unspiritual in any way, shape, or form. I just felt like that could
use some
clarification, because I think the more we talk about these in formulaic ways, the more nervous some people might get. And
yeah,
we don't want to ignore that.
We'll remind them when they say organic, that's what they mean.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, seriously, when you think about organic, you think about nature, and nature is full of systems,
right,
top to bottom.
Yeah.
From you personally, as you mentioned, your systems within your body to, mm-hmm, the ecosystem within which you live.
So let's hit our third question, and this is maybe becoming a bit more of the implementation side of things. So we are clearly looking at the local church in this.
Yeah.
The same principles apply to businesses, and so for people who are leading in businesses, you can take a lot of this to your context as well. But where should a church organization start when deciding on their pipeline structure? So we started off by saying, hey, just throw these things up on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
But what is the starting point for saying, How do we build,
yeah,
one of these? How do we know what ours
That's
is?
That's good. And I'd say, just so that you know, the templates that we're talking about, the ones that you'll be able to download, mm-hmm, those aren't, you know, us three guys like throwing stuff up on a whiteboard.
No.
It's 18
That would be really dangerous.
Listening to lots and lots of churches and finding like some very common threads in how leaders are developed and from churches who do it well. So to me, there's two things you do when you're starting. You identify the layers of leadership you already have.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that in most cases, the people who are listening, you're going to find that, wow, we have these four layers of leadership. We may use different nomenclature. We may have five layers of leadership, but we have these layers of leadership. So you identify the layers of leadership you have. And then second, you look at what competencies should be in each layer of leadership. And so we've done a lot of that hard work and over the last 18 months
right,
and doing a lot of listening to churches and saying, hey, here's
Absolutely.
Competencies, you know.
So this was put together by 18 people that we brought in over three different occasions, and we worked together as a group, you know, on Google Hangout and everything else. So it really was. We started out with 286 competencies.
That's a lot of competencies. That'd be hard to train somebody in a local church if you had 286.
But what we said was we gave people the layers because we knew the layers were important. And then we said, what competencies do you feel are most important at each layer? And so you had, you know, people like Mac Lake and Brad Lominick, who are leadership kind of gurus. But you also had really sharp XPs, executive pastors like Brian Doddridge, Andy Wilson, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that guy was over HR at Walmart before before being executive pastor.
So that's a lot of people.
We brought in lots of people, and we made sure that we had our smaller churches in mind as well. So if you consider my dad's church, which is about 100 people, he's got all those layers of leadership. Mm-hmm. He has volunteers. He has leaders. Mm-hmm. He has a Sunday school director. He doesn't have multiple directors, but he's got, you know, a Sunday school director.
Yeah.
And then your deacons and other senior leaders in the church. So it's it was, you know, extremely well thought out. I would say, where should you start in deciding on your structure? Well, in the beginning, as much as possible. So as when you're new, it's easy. As you grow, it needs to be in proportion and parallel
right.
with your growth. So you always – it's not like, hey, I can set my structure and I'm done. You may want to reconsider your structure if you've stopped growing or old systems aren't working or, you know, you've got morale issues or turnover issues. Balls mm-hmm. start to be dropped in important ministries, those types of things. But it's really, really important to decide those things early on.
Well, I think we talked previously about auditing systems.
Yeah.
I think you can do a little bit of a structure audit as well, although that's – structure audit is probably a little bit less complex because, as Eric said, you go name the structures you already have in place, and then you see where does it line up with this pipeline structure and where are the gaps there. Mm-hmm. And then – but like both of you guys have said – pretty much every church has layers of leadership. And so once you put pieces in there, you can begin to see where the holes are,
yeah.
what are the competencies that are you're strong in, you're weak in, and then you go from there.
Yep. Unless your church gathers and there's seats already there and nobody parks a car, there's nobody for kids, there's nothing for students, there's no one on stage but the pastor. There's no one to hand out a bulletin. There's no one to smile to greet.
There's no coffee.
There's nothing. You walk in and the pastor teaches, and that's it. And then you leave. If that's your case, you may not have levels of leadership.
You may not have a church.
Well, and then also you may be like, wow, we have to develop all these people. You know, beyond just the teaching and beyond just the teaching environment. But most churches, to your point, Barnabas, they do have levels of leadership.
Right.
They have it already.
So let's hit our fourth question, which is how do you align structures in a complex organization? So you go back, you look at the structures you already have in place, and you have whether it's multiple campuses or just different very strong areas of ministry and some that are languishing a little bit. There are different sort of either different structures or different strengths of structure in different areas. How do you align those in a church to kind of have a pipeline for all areas?
Yeah, because you don't want, you know, 17 different pipelines.
Right.
And then so someone who was volunteering in the student ministry, and now the person's volunteering in the kids ministry, and all that his or her leadership development that took place in the student area is now completely irrelevant.
And you don't want different competencies.
Right.
You know?
So that's really what I mean, to me, same nomenclature, same competencies.
Yeah. Yep.
It's that simple.
Yeah, just stick with, I mean, keep it simple. Same nomenclature.
Same number.
Language.
Same language.
Not everybody may know nomenclature.
So you just very subtly and in a savvy way called me out for my ironic use of not being simple. Yeah, have simple nomenclature. You're like, language.
Well, most often you would say words build worlds. So.
Well, yeah, they do. So, yes, you're right, Todd. Thank you for correcting me and rebuking me in front of everybody.
No, I rebuked you with your own stuff.
You're right.
Telling everybody how smart you are.
This is an example of leading up.
Leading up. He did that well. Simple language. You're right. So that you don't have a whole lot of different vocabularies around simple language mm-hmm. and the same competencies, which we're trying to give you a good starter on these documents that you can download.
Could you see an example of a situation in a church where one ministry, say they have a booming kids ministry, and that has a five-tier structure. There's that coaching tier is in there. But say the small groups ministry is just getting up off the ground and it only has four.
Yeah. Yes.
Totally.
Okay. Talk about aligning those.
I'd have the same language and then have this extra layer.
Okay.
So the same language in every other layer, but this extra layer.
So tiers 1 and 2, and I guess 4 and 5 in that case would be the exact same.
Yep.
except, and then this one just has the coach tier. And is the goal to get the other ministries to have five tiers, or just they're healthy with four and this one's healthy with five?
I would say one can be healthy with four, one can be healthy with five. If you're a very groups focused church, I went to a very groups focused church, then that actually had six layers of leadership in groups, but you're talking like 1,000 small groups.
Yeah, so I mean, you need that. 14 churches in the country that have stuff like that.
Exactly. So, but I'm saying you can scale it up or scale it down. One of the things that we did have to deal with is when we went to a common language, was there was another area who had one of those extra layers. They had a coordinator layer. But they were calling that coordinator layer what would be defined in other areas as the coaching layer. So we had to convince them to switch their definitions to make one higher than the
other
one.
So any tiers that are in common have the exact same language.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the goal here.
Really important.
Okay. And then our fifth question is, when and how should you restructure an organization? So if you have... You go back and look at your layers of leadership, your current structure, you realize it's not healthy, or you have a pipeline in place and you realize you need additional tiers, you need to drop a tier, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What does that restructuring look like? Yeah. When should you do it, and then how is a good way to go about it?
So to me, it's basic. If you have too many levels, you mentioned it, if you have too many levels or not enough. Mm-hmm. And so how do you know? Well, oftentimes you have too many levels if there's not enough people in a level for them to be trained.
That seems like it would be easier to put a finger on. Too many, you just kind of look at it and go, we're spread really thin.
And we have all of these different nomenclature, mm-hmm. and it's hard to develop people. Language, and it's hard to develop people. So that'd be too many. And then too few, I think, is more common. And I'll give you two examples. I was speaking to a group of pastors recently on Leadership Pipeline, and it was a group of pastors, churches in the room, ranged in size. But the pastor that was engaging me with some questions at the end, very thoughtful, godly man, doing a great job in his church, but realizes that, man, I really do need to have a leadership pipeline. Church runs about 250 to 300. And he said, okay, talk to me about how this impacts like the age groups. Can you draw this up for me? So we drew on the board, and I said, okay, so talk to me about your kids' ministry. Mm-hmm. So because he was asked for age groups. Well, he's got church around 250 to 300. So I said, you have about what, 30, 35 kids? He said, yep, that's what we have, 30, 35 kids on a Sunday. I said, okay, so how many kids' classes is that? Is that three? He said, yep, it's three classes. I said, okay, who oversees those kids' group leaders? And he says, it's me. I said, okay, so you're the one who hands them their curriculum, and you're the one who...
And he's the senior pastor.
Senior pastor.
Yeah.
Who you get a phone call from on Saturday night as you're looking over your sermon on if they can't be there and you're finding a replacement. And so this is a church of 250 to 300 people, and he has essentially in the kids ministry space two layers of leadership, leaders and him.
Volunteers in him, right?
Right. Unless you could view them as volunteers, or you could view them as Sunday school leaders, however you wanted to phrase it. But essentially, regardless, he had two layers.
Right.
And so I said, you need to have whatever you call this, whatever nomenclature you use. If you don't add this layer of leadership, you are unable to grow.
Right.
You're going to be unable to reach new families. I mean, think about it. It's going to be up to you to start a new Sunday school class for the kids. It's up to you.
Right.
And so you have to have you have to add a layer of leadership. I see that at churches 250 to 300 in size. Here's what I see often at churches 1,000 to 1,500 in size. I see an age group person, so it's a kids person, a student person, a groups person, and every string attaches to that person.
Right. So it's like director and volunteers.
There's like 30 volunteers all attached to the staff person,
right,
and not a layer of leadership and in between, and the layer of leadership in between helps for better care of the volunteers, but also helps for there to be a pathway for as the church grows, you have groups of leaders that have been identified.
It goes back to, you know, what we talked about. You want to do this from the beginning, but in proportion and in parallel with growth.
Mm-hmm.
in proportion and parallel with growth. So be thinking about, hey, where do I want to be? How many leaders do I need to develop in order to keep up with growth? Or, if we have this plan for growth.
Yeah, then, would you say, Todd, to keep up with it? Because this is a question I've been asked before. And do you want to keep up with it, or do you want to get ahead of it in terms of your leadership pipeline?
Well, ultimately, in order to keep up with it, you got to get ahead of it.
Oh,
if you're
going
to put,
that was a softball there, dude.
You like that?
That was good.
Because if you're going to practice pipeline correctly, then you need to have people prepped for that, not just, we grew. Now I got to find somebody to fill this spot. Yeah. It's about leadership development and leadership placement are two way different things.
But they're also proactive and intentional.
Absolutely.
When done well. Like you're not practicing reactive leadership.
Right. So one of the great things about this is you could come in with a sheet at these different layers and look at your individual ministry and do an audit and say, okay, this is the type of leadership position I have at this level. How many people do I have currently, and how many people do I need if I want to grow?
Right. Well, I think that's probably a good place to land the conversation on structure. We have...
I do have one more caveat. So we said, when and how do you restructure? So it's basically, if you stopped growing, I listed some of those things. If old systems aren't working, morale is bad, balls have been dropped. But another one is, has work shifted?
Mm-hmm.
So if there has been a sacred cow that it's been in your church for years and years and years, and it used to be a big thing, and it's still staffed like it was a big thing, but instead other areas of ministry have grown, that is when you need to take a look at restructuring, when work has shifted.
That makes sense. All right, so this is a good place to wrap up the conversation on structure. We have two more topics to hit over the next couple of days. We will hit on the people piece of pipeline. We're not going to hit on people. That would be awkward. But we will discuss. Or just it's inappropriate depending on how you take hit on.
I was going with the punch.
Yeah, that's we won't do that either. And then we're going to talk on the content. So what sort of training does it take for people? So look for that in the next couple of days. Thanks for listening to this episode.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we wanted to remind you about the free e-booklet, Developing Your Leadership Pipeline, that will help your church get started training leaders more effectively. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, where you can download the e-booklet for free.